Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 416. We're going to continue with the curse and the command, you know, obviously, to honor father and mother, and the curse that will come for those who are not going to do that. And mind you, when we talk about the parents, as we mentioned earlier, you know, in the last lesson, they're the ones, in essence, that are like your gods. After your creator, you see, after your father in heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the actual creator. You see, it's a sort of, you know, like the father and the mother. You see, one conceives, and then the other one becomes the mother, take care of the baby the rest of the time. And that's, in essence, the relationship between the father and Jesus Christ in regard to us. You see, the father begets us. He gives us to Christ. Christ takes care of us until he's fully formed in us. And then we're born, and then he hands us, or, you know, hands us back to the Father. And that's what you see at the end of the story. After Christ reigns upon this earth for 1,000 years, and the whole earth comes under subjection to his law, his path and way, and that of God. And then, when the Father descends with heavenly Jerusalem on this earth, then the two of them are going to be in the temple, and his people, Israel, and then the rest of mankind all around the earth. And then he hands over the reign of government to his father, and he becomes subject unto him. So, obviously, this is a part of this commandment here, and curse. That's how important it is to God, because that's the sequence of it. And the father and the mother, the physical ones, are basically a replica of the father and our creator. You see, our immediate God, our mother in that sense. And so, obviously, those who are going to dishonor their father and mother, it's as if they are dishonoring the Father and Jesus Christ. That's how severely God regards it. And that's the reason why you find out in the 10 oracles that he gave to Israel, that after the commandments that have to do with him, to obey him and worship him, not to do other gods, not to bow down to them, you see, not to take his name in vain, and then to keep his Sabbath, which he sanctified, a day on which, you know, his people are to come and worship him, you see, and then he switched to the father and mother. Honor your father and mother. And it's not a coincidence that it is there in that order, you see. And then he went to the human relationships that people are to have first with their own wife, and after that, you know, with everybody all around them. All those things, you know, you have to meditate on them and understand why they are in that category, in that order. And so this is what we read here. And it's true, unfortunately, that goes for everything. You see, God is perfect. The Father is perfect. Jesus Christ is perfect. But our parents may not be. So in that, then, don't necessarily resemble God, you see. If they do not worship God, obviously they're not going to be like him. But nevertheless, in spite of the bad example, or, you know, whatever bad things you do, or whatever, you know, bad things you think that they have done to you, because sometimes, you know, we don't realize a lot of things that they do are for our own good, and only down the road we wake up one day and we realize that those things that we hated them for were actually good. That was a bitter medicine that they gave us for our own good. You see? It doesn't mean that everything they have done was correct. But God doesn't say, well, honor them only if everything they do is exactly what you want. Or, you know, everything that they do is exactly as God would have done it. That was not a command in the 10 oracles, and this is not the curse that he's going to pronounce upon you here. Well, you know, I dishonored them, you know, you tell God because, you know, they were not good parents. God said, you're going to be cursed. Period. Simple. So, he that has an ear, if you got, you know, a problem like that with your parents, you know, listen. Shut your mouth, in essence, you know, keep silence, as Moses is saying. In other words, and obey the voice of your God, because you're going to appear before him and are going to have to give an account for that. And if you've got a lot of curses in your own family because your kids, you know, couldn't care less about you, think about yourself. What are you doing to your own parents? What example did you give them? Why should they respect you when they see you disrespect your own parents, which are their grandfather and mother? You see? That's the way it goes. So God says, don't bring a curse upon yourself by doing that. And so the people of Israel, when they heard it, you know, they said, amen. And so by the mere fact that they said, okay, we're going to do it, and they're not doing it, they're paying the penalty. And we're paying the penalty this very day. What do we do with our parents? You know, they get to a point where they can't function as well. First, the society throws them out of the labor market. You know, your old fogies, get out of here. You know, we want young people. So the society is paying the curse and the penalty because these people with so much experience, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, when they've reached that point, you throw them out. That's a lunacy. You see, that's idiocy on the part of a society to do so, and so they bring a great curse upon them, and they have to go reinventing the wheel, making the same mistakes their parents have done, instead of learning from the mature and the experienced, and seeking their advice for counsel. Doesn't mean that everything they say and do, you know, is right, but at least there is an awful lot of experience that was gained there, and maturity. Why do we throw it away? You see, that's total stupidity on the part of all of us, and we're all guilty of it. You know, then we don't pay attention to them, just old fogies, you know, we don't want to listen to them. Well, what do they know? They don't know any better, you know. And we tell them, you know, every time, well, you're in the 90s, you're in the 80s, you're in the 70s, you know, you are now in the new millennium, things like that, as if that means we know better, you see. And we pay an awful lot of penalty for it. We are cursed. We pronounce the curse with our own mouth through our parents, you see. And then what do we do with them after that? Well, that's not good enough. We throw them, take them, you know, take their home away from them and put them in a convalescent home because, you know, they cannot take care of them or themselves. What happened to the children? The children they used to take care of morning, noon, and night, carrying them in their arms, care for them, love them, suffer so much for them, sacrifice so much for them for years, depriving themselves of the good things in life so they can help their kids, put their kids through school. Care for them, you know, wake up at night, in the middle of the night, you know, because they are sick and things like that. We forget all that. And we throw them into that place. We don't want to take care of those old fogies, you know. We are busy. We got our own life, eh? Get your own life, we tell them. And we put them in those prisons we call convalescent homes. And then every day, you know, they wonder, you know, is somebody going to call me? My kids going to visit me? Can't we see the curses that we brought upon ourselves? And then we have the audacity of pointing the finger at God and saying, why did Johnny die? You see? That's the height of hypocrisy, and every single one of us is guilty of it. What have we done to our parents? Where are they? Out of sight. Out of heart. Who cares? And then they die. You know? And those graveyards, you know, death, you know, begins there as soon as we put them there. It's just a matter of time. And they're dying there. You know, dying to see their kids, dying, you know, for love and affection and respect and honor and for all that they've done and things like that. And we just put them there, you know, throw them inside that, you know, into those places and shut the door and disappear. And then we do them a favor, you know, maybe once a year, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and a few times here in between. This is a curse that we pronounce on ourselves, and whether we know it or not, whether we were there or not, it's neither here nor there. We are paying the penalty. That's why God says, unless you return to the law of Moses, all of you are going to be destroyed because I am the Father, and you are not going to make fun of me and dishonor me because I live forever, and I own heaven and earth. You see? You get me out of your sight, I'll get you out of my sight for good. These are simple words. So, we make the choice, as Moses later on would tell them. Hey, I said before you two ways, life or death. Choose life. He didn't say just choose, he said choose life. If we haven't done it, it's to our own shame. You can't blame God for that. A lot of hypocrites out there, and oftentimes they're religious people, they blame God all the time for all kind of evils that happen upon this earth. Instead of pointing the fingers at themselves, look at the mirror and see the enemy, see the evildoer. See the source of it. Self. You see? We are the enemy. And so this is what he's saying here. You're cursed. And they said, amen. Third one. In gradation, in order, which people again have despised. Government, business community, banking industry, real estate industry, you know, everybody that you owe somebody or something to, they're doing it. Verse 17. The IRS does it. You know, you don't pay your taxes, they come and grab everything they can from you. and you know, kind of reasons like that. And you know, if you happen to be stupid, you know, and smoke, and you know, that is, you know, drugs, not tobacco, because tobacco government is okay, you can do it. You see, they determine what drug you can take and die, and what other, you know, drugs you can take, and you know, if you don't pay them money for it, you see, they come after you, and the police comes after you, you know, the drug boss, you know, they call it, and they basically take everything from you. What do they care about your family, about your children, about your grandchildren? They couldn't care less. Go after the man who did it and punish that person, but don't take away everything from him. And this is, this law, this curse here, addresses that, and many other things like that. You see, verse 17. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark. They do it by law. They do it by hook and crook. They do it by so many ways. And all the people shall say, Amen. So if we are being cursed in so many ways, look at the mirror of the law of Moses. You see? And call yourself what you are. And stop accusing God as a hypocrite, as many do. You see? And all of us are guilty. Our leaders, you know, secular leaders, spiritual leaders, churches do that too. You know, what do they tell people? You know, remind us, you know, remember us in your will. Encourage people, you know, stupid people oftentimes, they don't think, they don't care, they don't know the law of God. And so you die, and your home and the property goes to the church. But what about your family? What about your kids? What are they going to do? You see? God says, don't ever do a thing like that. And yet people do it. And so the government is a culprit, you know, chief culprit. Religion, second, and sometimes they would be the first. Because oftentimes in the name of religion, in the name of those crooks, thieves and robbers that Christ would call them, you know, people went and grabbed land from others and property, robbed them of everything they have, because supposedly, you know, they were not obedient to Christ or following Christ or Christians like they were, you know, the crusaders, that's what they were doing. That's what the Inquisition was all about. And for that matter, anywhere on the face of the earth, when in the name of religion people go and grab lands from others, that's where the Middle East, again, the holy war, supposed holy war that the clerics of Islam are declaring against the people of Israel, people of Judah in specific, that's what it is all about, to remove the landmark. And so people do it on a religious basis, governmental basis, in all kind of ways, and personal things, banking basis, insurance, IRS, whatever it may be, supposedly by legal means. God does not recognize any of those legal means. When a land is given to a people, they shouldn't be robbed of it. And so he gives Israel this law, not only to abide by, but to also teach all mankind. And they're going to do it when the time comes, but they haven't been doing it all this time. And that's why he's saying here, you're going to be cursed if you do it. And all of them said Amen. And so to this very day, if a lot of bad things happen to people who are in the banking industry, you know, the insurance industries, IRS or government or whatever it may be, if they're involved in it, a lot of evil things come upon them, they shouldn't point the finger at God. There are many things that we do in life that later on come to haunt us, and we don't know why. That's how God gets, you know, our attention, and that's how God, who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, he chooses the time and the hour, and we don't realize that every single thing, every evil thing that comes upon us, somewhere along the way, we've done something to bring it upon ourselves, one way or the other. It's always a cause and effect, and that's what he tells them. It is a law. You obey it, it'll be well with you. You don't, you're going to be cursed. And God will determine the time and the hour for it. And so they said, Amen. Well, now they are guilty, if they've done it. And then we read in verse 18, another curse that is coming upon them. Again, in order of gradation of severity and things like that. And a lot of people are guilty of it, and all of us, if we're guilty of it to one degree or the other without realizing it sometimes, you know, without knowing. Verse 18, cursed be he that makes the blind go astray in the way. And all the people shall say Amen. Now, deception, that's a very big thing. Every time we pass a lie, every time we hear a story that was not true and we pass it around, and we deceive others, and they act in a certain way. That's what politics is all about. It's all deception. They sell you an image of somebody that does not exist, and then they change that image, you know, anytime it's convenient, you know, to fit the voters in order to get their votes. In advertising, they do it, you see. The business community does it. People do it on a personal basis. Churches do it. Religion does it. It's everywhere. God says it's going to be cursed if you deceive people, if you do not speak the truth. If you don't know, keep silence. In other words, keep your mouth shut. If you really know, and it's true, then speak. A lot of people, you know, as Solomon said, a bunch of fools. Why? Because they speak before they know the whole matter. And so when they speak, when they do not know the whole matter, they're going to deceive people. That's what the experts are all about. Why do they disagree with one another if they are all supposedly are experts? And what happens to people who follow them? You see, just like the other day I was reading about a certain great guru, you know, in Wall Street. You know, a certain lady, don't need to mention her name. But, you know, she was telling people about this stock market going higher and higher and higher and all that, you know, past the 5,000 for the NASDAQ. And people followed her by the millions. And the great debacle came and went down, way down. And $5 trillion were lost in the process. A lot of people are totally, you know, wiped out financially. You see? Why? Because somebody came and sold them a story. You see? And they believed it. And they followed it. That's what God is saying here. Cursed be he that makes the blind. He's not speaking only about a physical blind. You see? He's speaking mostly about spiritually blind. Misinformation. And every nation is engaged in misinformation. Government is engaged in deliberate, willful misinformation to their own advantage. God says they're going to be cursed. So the people who are responsible for it, the people who are partakers of it, the people who believe it, they're all going to be cursed, one way or the other. And then, on top of that, God is going to come after those people who are responsible for it. So when we look at the state of the world, you know, and see all the evils that are in it, this is the reason for it. All these reasons that you see here, all these curses. Because God wanted Israel to avoid all these penalties, and therefore he told them, he revealed to them how those things come about and how to avoid them. You see? And if you don't avoid them, just like others, you too are going to be cursed. That's a cause and effect. You see? And people go through it anyway, whether they're reading the law of God or not. It's there. You see? That's why people come up with all those cliches. You know, what goes around comes around. Play nice. Do it the right way, and things are going to be working, you know, will work out all right. And so this is what you see here, because that's a big, big, big problem in the world. Deception, misinformation, confusion, you see, in everywhere. In, you know, business practices, everywhere you see it. Fine print, that's all it means. That's how to deceive people. You see? Big letters. And lawyers are the ones that came up with that. They're not after the truth. They don't make money. That's the way they think in this world. And so, you have to function like that. And then, you know, just like all those people find out, no, it's a bad idea. Just like all the big companies, you know, they put all kind of false, or that is a false advertising, or, you know, wrong product there, and then comes back to haunt them. They find out about all kind of defects, and they force companies, corporations, to spend, you know, billions of dollars to rectify their problems. Why deceive to begin with? Why not do it right? So God says, you know, you don't do it right, you're going to be cursed. And some people say the law of Moses is done away with. You see? That's the biggest source of misinformation. Religion. That's public enemy number one. Has been, will always be, until God totally scrapes it. You see? And then the people would know only the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and abide in it, and nobody's going to be allowed to deceive anymore. As you read in Zechariah 13, anybody's going to speak lies. He said his own father and mother are going to, you know, put him to death. And so, that's another curse. And the people of Israel said amen, and went ahead and continued to deceive one another, and cheat one another, and rob one another, you see. And even, you know, the so-called good people that just tell, you know, little white lies, you see, that's putting, you know, a stumbling block before the blind to go astray, out. And so that's what he says here. Cursed be he that makes the blind go astray in the way. What way is he talking about? The way of truth, the way of life, the way of God. You see, the way of the journey that leads into the mind and the nature of God, into eternity. That's the name of his religion. So in specific, he's talking about religious deception. Now, what is it that Christ told his disciples when they wanted to know about the temple and the destruction and things like that? Prophecy. You know, a lot of people are interested in prophecy. He said, that's not the first thing you should be worried about, but deception. Because that's the number one weapon of the devil. Deception. That's why he told them, take heed that no man deceive you. And if you listen to that deception because you do not study the word of God, you're a blind person. Now, that's what Christ said about his own people. You think that you are knowledgeable, increased in good, lacking nothing, you know it all, and you don't realize you're blind, you're naked, you're poor, you're miserable, you're wretched. That's the reason why people are able to be deceived so easily. And people are able to deceive them. You see? So, in essence, it's a warning both ways. Don't be blind. And if you're blind, put some eye salve on your eyes and begin to see. In other words, study the law of Moses. Meditate on it day and night. Based on that, you will understand the prophets. What is it that they were doing all along? What was their commission? Based on that, you'll understand the magnification that came later on through Christ himself in person and the disciples. And if you don't have all that, you're going to be blind. And if you're blind, you're going to be cursed. And God makes it very plain that the people who are responsible for perpetuating this blindness and deception and leading others, he's going to come after them. They're going to be cursed. He's going to pronounce a curse on them, you see, and he's going to take care of them. And so that's applicable in so many ways. And we have to sit down in meditating on this law of God day and night and realize and understand and comprehend what are we doing that is contrary to this law, that is bringing upon us all these curses and pain, penalty and affliction and all that. And we all know if we're honest, even if we have a little bit of honesty in us, we do an awful lot of things. We're our own number one enemy. You see? God says he's not interested in that. He's not interested in the death of the wicked. He wants all of us to repent. He commands us to repent, to change. Come out of this deception. Not be blind. Not be cursed. But blessed. You see? That's what David says. Blessed and happy is the man who does never walk astray. You see? That walks in the way of God. Now, otherwise, he's going to be blind and he's going to be cursed. That's as simple as that. So anybody who tells you the law of God is done away with, the law of Moses is done away with, that's old stuff, it's not for us. That's, you know, that belongs to the God of the law, another God, and we've got another God, you see. You know you're talking into a deceiver. And that's what Christ said. Take heed, you see, that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name. Now they do it in Christianity, they do it in Judaism, they do it in Islam, they do it in every given religion on the face of the earth. Many shall come in my name, in the name of God, in the name of Christ, in the name of whatever they want to come with. Now they're going to give you a bill of goods, mixture of truth and error, you see, and lead you astray. And you're going to be blind, who's going to fall into the ditch. And when the blind leads the blind, you know, they all fall into the same ditch. And so that's what God is saying here. And you can amplify it all you want, you know, sit down and spend a lot of time on every tiny little word here, and you come up with so much. You see, that's your responsibility. And so that's what God is saying here. And then continue with another one. Verse 19. Cursed be he that perverts the justice due to the stranger, to the fatherless, and the widow. And that includes everybody else. You see, even those who may not be in this category. Period. When you pervert justice, and we cover that up before that. Anybody who does that, government that does it, the church that does it, religion that does it, the business community that does it, anybody that does it is going to be cursed, not blessed. First, by their own consequences of that. Second, ultimately, when God is coming after you. You see? Either throughout your lifetime, which he does, People don't realize it. They don't know where all those calamities came from, where all those problems. They think, oh, it just happened. And ultimately in the judgment day, you see, so God puts every single one of us on notice. Don't ever do that. You see? So how can you say the law of Moses is done away with? That means you can go ahead and do all these things? See the insanity of those people, those religious leaders? You see of what manner of spirit they are? You see who is really their father is? And it's not God, the source of their supposed religion. You see? That's what happens to people who allow themselves to become blind. And others mislead them. And so, you see what doing that does to society. And the land, the earth, every nation is full of it. And people are being cursed because of that, not blessed. Misery is everywhere. Wickedness, evil everywhere. Everybody is suffering in anguish. The whole creation is in great anguish. Why? Because the creation rejected the law of Moses. That's why. That's as simple as that. That's what God says again, and He can never say it too many times, that unless you repent and return to the law of Moses, not only His own people, but all mankind, because that's the very law He gave from the Garden of Eden, you know, some amplifications, all humanity is going to be wiped out from under heaven. And so verse 20, we read again, cursed be he that lies with his father's wife. So now it goes into the sexual intimate matters between human beings, not just the general things that everybody does, you see, because obviously not everybody does these kind of things. And so he says, a person that does that, in other words, when you begin to forsake the law of Moses, the law of God, you're going to begin to do all kind of things like that, not only, you know, your next door neighbor, you know, whatever it may be, but some people will literally go to their own father, you know, within the family. That's where incest is, you see. So the immorality is not only with the outsiders, you see, even with that inside the home. So God is addressing that too, because that was a major problem too. It still is to this very day, one way or the other. God says, cursed be he that lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's skirt. And then you find a case like that in the writings of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, where somebody was doing it literally there, and he had to deal with it. And so I said, you do that, and you're going to be cursed, and all the men shall say amen. And then he goes to beyond, you know, the sexuality, that which is, so to speak, you might say normal, you know, a man, you know, and a woman. But now he goes to a degradation. What happens when people do that, and even that doesn't satisfy them? And they go to the second level, you know, a lower one. And so he's addressing it here. And that's been always a major problem in society. You know, it's not a widespread as the one before that. And it's not a widespread as all those who came before that. But still, it is a big problem. And it brings a lot of curses on humanity. And people do it all around the earth, including in this country. You know, people that claim to be members of a Christian nation. And so, he says, cursed be he that lies with any manner of beast. This law wouldn't be there if people didn't do it. A lot of people were doing it. That was a part of the pagan sacrifices and rites. Because, you see, those animals were gods to those people. And so, in other words, having an intimate relationship with their gods. And that's how it worked. And obviously, other people do it just because they're downright degenerated and perverted. That's what they were doing also, among other things, in Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's what they do in many nations. That's what people do in their own private homes, and people are not aware of that. You know, that's one of the reasons why people began to bring animals into their own home. You see, not only because, well, that was a society, and you couldn't leave it outside, you know, had to keep it inside, but in the process, you see, when people degenerate to animalism, they literally, you know, do that, bring animals in when they have no business doing it, where they shouldn't be doing it, and something happens, you know, human desire, perverted human desire, and they end up with bestiality. I read some figures, you know, which may not be correct, but, you know, extremely conservative figure, they say about 4 million women, and that was many years ago, in this country, the United States, Christian nation, some people like to call it, you know, engage in bestiality. Actually, the number is much greater always than, you know, the what is known. So it's pretty common. Not only women, you know, men do too. And all of us, you see, if we do not guard ourselves, if we do not obey the law of God, we commit these kind of things. Man is capable of anything. Any single human being on the face of the earth is capable of anything when we depart from the law of Moses. And so, unfortunately, you know, the statement that a dog is a man's best friend is not always a good one. You see, some people abuse that, and thankfully it's not everybody, but unfortunately too many. And some societies was more, because again, you know, in the old days it was part of religion, so obviously there was much more of it in those days than later on. And so it says, you know, all the people should say amen. Verse 22, cursed be he that lies with his sister, the daughter of his mother, or the daughter of his his father of his mother. Now, once upon a time, this was not prohibited. Abraham himself, the father of the faith. You see, he married his own sister, half a sister. The mother, you know, that he had, apparently was not the only wife, you know, that his father had. You see, his father had other mothers. And so this daughter, this sister of his, this Sarah, did not come from his mother, but she came from his father, who had another wife also, beside others, you see. And at that time, it was not prohibited. But when God at this point says, no more, you see, and if you do it, that became a curse. Because the curse, generally speaking, here, is not only in the immorality of the matter, but in the genes. You get too close to the family and you develop evil diseases, you see. You become, suspect to warped, demented, perverted genes, so to speak. And that's why in some societies they have certain diseases that others don't. Like in the Jews of Eastern Europe that lived in the ghettos, you know, they couldn't go far to find a mate. So they began to marry closer to the family, not, you know, their own sister, but, you know, too close in the family. The pool of genes was diminished because of that. And then certain diseases developed among them that do not exist otherwise in other people. Well, that's a part of the curse. Don't get too close to the family. In this case, it's very close. And then we read another one. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law. Well, obviously, not many people are going to do that. You know, the reputation of a mother-in-law, unfortunately. But some people do it. You see, God says, that's a no-no. You're going to be cursed. You're going to be a punishment there, penalty. Don't do that. And all the people shall say amen. And cursed be he that smites his neighbor in secret. A lot of people do it. A lot of people smite their own wives. Some wives smite their own husbands. And then within the family. There are times when we smite our own children, we have no business doing it. We do it just because, you know, we got angry. You see? And the others smite each other, and so forth. And there are kids that smite their own parents. God says they're going to be cursed. You see? Because you're destroying your own family, your own relationship. There are consequences there, you see, beside what God is going to bring upon you one way or the other. Somewhere down the road, if he doesn't choose to do it immediately, somewhere down the road he's going to get you. And then in your confusion, you think, well, God doesn't love me. What, you know, what have I done? Things like that. Totally forgot about what you have done a long time ago. You see, and then you point the finger at God, you know, why did Johnny die, and so forth. We have to think about all these things. All the evil that come upon us is not without a cause. Every consequence has a cause. Cause and effect. That's what the law of God is all about. You do right, consequences are right. You do wrong, consequences are wrong. So to wake up one day and to claim, well, the law is done away with, that's utter insanity. You cannot do away with the causes and the consequences. There's no such a thing. You know, you can teach it all you want. It just shows that you are an imbecile, you know, utterly insane person, totally void of knowledge and understanding and sanity to even say a thing like that. And people are that way. They are insane people. That's why we are told about the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. People who do not have the Spirit of God are insane people, whether they know it or not, regardless how much intelligence they have. Otherwise, spiritually speaking, they are insane people, and so they do all kind of foolish things, and they bring destruction on them. The way the society functions shows you that. That's the reason why God says, for our own good, we better return to the law of Moses so we can begin to act in a very sound way. So we end up only with the good results and nothing bad. And so that's what God is saying here. Anybody who smites his neighbor in secret, and all the people should say amen. Whether the law gets him, whether somebody knows about it, whether, you know, it's something in secret, you see, nobody knows, and he's afraid, you know, the person who was smitten is afraid to say anything about it, be it kids, wives, wife abuse, husband abuse, and all that, neither he nor there. God knows who you are. You're going to pay the penalty one way or the other. You see? So nobody gets away with anything when it comes to God, because he sees all things. That's the real Big Brother. People are afraid of Big Brother, and they don't realize there's somebody who knows everything, not only of what you do, but what you think. Even before you thought it, if he wants to know. And what you feel. All these things are open before him. So we should never play games. And worse than that, we should not say that law is done away with. Because all we are saying to others, to God, and to ourselves, that we are utterly depraved and insane people. And then, verse 25, cursed be he that takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. You know, the contract that people have. But, period, God says, don't ever take a bribe. That's what politics is all about. That's what political contributions and donations are all about. They're all bribes. Nobody gives money for nothing. You see? And unfortunately, a whole society, and then in some societies, you know, that's the only way you can get something done by the government. Even in the post office, simple things. You got to give them a bribe. A lot of societies, especially in South America and far, you know, Asia and places like that, Middle East, that's the only way they work. You can't get anything done unless you bribe someone. And so government does it, the business community does it, everybody does it. And they're all cursed because of that. God says, don't do it. In this case, talk specifically about wanting to kill someone. You know, that's what they call contract. Don't ever do that, he said, because you're going to be cursed. And if the law finds you or not, it's neither here nor there. God knows who you are. Everything's recorded. Nobody gets away with anything. So it's stupid to do it. You see? You're going to be cursed. Not blessed. And all the people should say amen. And so they're witnesses against themselves. Then verse 26. Here is one that is all inclusive. Anything that is not even mentioned here. Cursed be he that confirms not the words of this Torah. All of it. To do them. And all the people shall say amen. And that's where all men of religion are. Under this curse. You see, as in the prophet, God said, even the blessings of the priest, he said, I'm going to make it a curse. You can bless the people, but I'll make it a curse because you are disobeying my law, my Torah. You are teaching lies, a mixture of truth and error. You see, that's all inclusive. Everything. Nobody gets away with anything. If you engage in any of these things, and everything that is in the law of Moses, and unless you study it day and night, you wouldn't know what's everything that is in it. You see? And so you get punished and you don't know why. That's why. We have pronounced a curse upon ourselves. Humanity has done it, whether they know it or not, and we're paying the penalty. And we are the only guilty ones. You see? Everybody has his own guilt, yes. And everybody's going to be punished based on that. You see? But ultimately speaking, every single one of us, we have all sinned and come short of the glory, and that's what Paul was talking about. Unless you know the background of his statement and the mind of the writer, you don't know what he's talking about. Hopefully now you know a little bit more. And the more you study it, the more you're going to understand everything that you read later on. You see, for those who spend a little bit too much time at the end of the book and forget the beginning of it. And all the people shall say amen. And so we are paying. And when we read all those things, and when we know about all the problems that we have in life, and when we are being told by the prophets of God, either directly as we study His Word, any of the prophets, from righteous Abel, Moses, all the other prophets, and people to this very day who tell you those kind of things, you should say amen. Not gnash with your teeth against them and accuse them and want to kill them, as you know, people have done in the past. They will still do in the future. They don't like to be rebuked. They don't like to be corrected. They don't like to be admonished. They like the sweet, smooth, nicey-nice preachers. You know, just tell me about love and joy and grace and faith and, sweetly Lord Jesus and all kind of things like that. Or you find in Judaism the same kind of things oftentimes. People don't like to be rebuked. They hate it. They'll sue you for it. They call it libel. Even if you tell the truth. You see? And in the past, they've done it. And the future, it's coming again. God talks about the martyrdom that is coming again. Done basically mainly by religion and then government. They don't like to hear the truth if it is against them. You know, you try to say something against government, they'll get you. It works to this very day. So, this is the end of this chapter, and we continue now with chapter 28, which is a very long chapter. Basically, Moses here is repeating what he said in Leviticus about all the blessings, all the curses, all the cause and effect. You see, and he mentions many details here. You see? And so all the history of mankind in the past, since the days of Moses, and before that, from the Garden of Eden, even though most people don't believe in it, they think it's fable, including many of religion, including many rabbis, they think, and a lot of those things are fables, supposed rabbis, they don't believe in it. And in the Christian community, so-called Christian community, most preachers don't believe in that. They call it fables. That's how the way they present it. Only very few of them believe in it. You see? And so it is everywhere. But Moses here is, in essence, recording the history of man in general, whether people know it or not. Not only the people of Israel. And he's explaining why all these evils on this earth all this time and what to do about it. And God makes it very plain. You return to the law of Moses, it shall be well with you. You don't, I'm going to destroy the entirety of planet earth. You see? Because it's applicable to all of them, whether they know it or not. And so that's what this chapter is all about. Verse 28 and verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if you shall listen, hearken diligently, obey unto the voice of the Lord your God, not me, you see, that's God. He's the author of it, the source of it. You see, and you can kill yourself all you want. God doesn't exist. Neither here nor there. You're paying the penalty. You know it. But you're too much of a hypocrite and blind and confused person to even believe it and know it while you're paying the penalty. And then people say, oh God, even people do not believe in God, they call upon that name when they're in trouble. You see? And so this is what he's saying here. You observe, you listen to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all these commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. That's what he promises people. And now and then, they had a measure of it to the degree that they obeyed. And if they have all these problems in the Middle East today, the people of Judah are suffering grievously. Very few of them are honest enough to say, amen, we brought it on ourselves. We are doing it to this very day. You see? Because people don't like to hear it. Yeah, those people who say it there were honest, who know what it says here, who are reading it every Sabbath day, as I go to the synagogue, you see, who are proclaiming it in public, there are those who still do it. But most everybody makes fun of them. You see, they don't like to hear it. In the old days, they killed the prophets who spoke to them in that way. And they're not different today. You see, they mock them. And then they wonder why all those evils are coming upon us. Why do we have terrorism? Why do we have all these problems? Social problems, sexual problems, all kind of problems. Sickness, disease, affliction, Then you die. What's the sense of life? You see? Well, you walk this way instead of the way of God. What do you expect? So God tells them through Moses, you obey my voice and commandments, which I command you this day, and you'll be on high. You don't, you'll be low. It's as simple as that, cause and effect. And all the blessings, he said, shall come upon you and overtake you. You're going to have so many of them all around you, you wouldn't know what to do with them. If you shall hearken, or if you shall listen, you see the word in Hebrew is tishma, hear and obey, same word, hear Israel, or shma, Israel, It's all the same. You see, the word Shema that is used there, the Shema, you know, the famous Shema, Hear, Israel. You see, it means obey of Israel. So, the hearken, you know, that's in English, all the, you know, King James language for obey or hear. He that has an ear, let him hear. That's what Christ said to the churches, to all of us. And to the voice, so if you hear the voice or obey the voice of God, blessed shall you be in the city. Anything that goes on in the city is going to be a blessing, not a curse. Yet the cities are full of curses. They're festering sores for many. Much misery, much poverty, much sickness and disease and crime. Why? Because people rejected the law of Moses. That's as simple as that, whether they know it or not. It's neither here nor there. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. You know, your crops and land and all that, when you come in, when you go out, you're not going to get killed on the highway or freeway, whatever it may be. You're not going to be robbed. You see, and if you're a farmer, you're not going to be, you know, having all those problems with pests and pesticides, you know, you need there because of that, and herbicides, and you poison the land, and people drink that water, and they get sick. You see, the curses, they multiply. That's a chain reaction. The cycle grows and grows of curses. And contrary to that, if you obey the law of God, the cycle of blessings will multiply. So he begins first with the good things, with the good news, and he's going to give you the bad news. Then he's going to tell you what to do about it. And we shall stop at this point again. This is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.